each one of you that is here. I just discovered that praising God is contagious. Wow. There's more to it than that, but so it's thank you for all of you that pray for and into our worship time. To have experiences that we have experiences here, I think we couldn't do ourselves. So we, a collective church, a collective group of worshipers is meaningful. And the old standbys, the people that set up, Chuck and Mike and Scott and Justin on the sound and Judy on the worship, great. This morning, I thought a bit off more than I could chew. My subject this morning is Zacchaeus is out of his tree. There are several ways you can take that. There's only one recording of Zacchaeus in the Bible, and that's in Luke 19, verses 1 to 10. There's no other gospel that shares that, and there's nothing in the rest of the Bible about Zacchaeus. So this morning, I'm going to spend a little time reading between the lines, which is a very dangerous thing to do, but I'm going to have you join me in that if I can. One of the things that stuck out in this Luke passage is that everybody was seeing, the crowd saw, Zacchaeus went to see, and Jesus saw. I didn't go with that, but that's very interesting. So I didn't go with it except the fact that I want for us this morning to see some things that we may not have seen before. So I need a volunteer to read from Luke 19, verses 1 to 10. It's a very easy story. Luann, are you up to that? We're getting a mic.
Sorry, Justin. There we go. And he entered and was passing through Jericho. And behold, there was a man called by the name of Zacchaeus, and he was chief tax collector, and he was rich. And he was trying to see who Jesus was. And he was unable because of the crowd, for he was small in stature. And he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree in order to see him, for he was about to pass through that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for today I must stay at your house. And he hurried and came down and received him gladly. And when they saw it, they all began to grumble, saying, well, he has gone to the guest of a man who is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stopped and said to the Lord, behold, Lord, half of my possessions I will give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will give it back four times as much. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house because he too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost.
Thanks, Lou. I know our minds can think about and do a lot of things at the same time. So I'm gonna pose a question for you that you might want to let this ride throughout the next 45 minutes in your mind, and you might want to think about an answer. Why did Jesus single out Zacchaeus? Why did Jesus single out? Now, there's some obvious answers to that. But I'm going to take it deeper with that. Why did Jesus single out Zacchaeus? Well, we've been talking about people transformed in the Bible, our series of messages. And Mike shared last week how we can encounter Jesus, who is a transformer, obviously. So we talked about Judas, Mike, Gideon, and I did Rahab, people who messed up in life, but God still used him. This morning we're looking at Zacchaeus and his transformation. Jesus said in John 10, I think is verse 10, that I've come that you may have life and that you may have life abundantly. In our land of abundance as Christians, we may see the abundant life as more and more and more and more. I don't know how you see abundant life. Like more money, a bigger house, more things, more power, more fun, more adventure, more, more, more. As Christ followers, we are feeling there needs to be a balance between I hear this all the time, between family and work, between myself and others, between getting and giving. When I was a child growing up in Sunday school, I attended Sunday school. And at probably four years of age, I heard this story of Zacchaeus, and like many of you, it made an impression on me. I mean, 75 years or 80 years later, I'm still remembering this. And so my teacher was Fanny, and she taught this scripture to me in a song. It went like this. Zacchaeus was a wee little man. Did you learn this?
Yeah.
A wee little man was he. He climbed up into a sycamore tree, for he wanted his Lord to see. And as the master came along, he looked up in the tree and said, and my teacher Fanny said, Zacchaeus, you come down, for I'm going to your house today. Now, if you're a four-year-old, you remember this part. You come down. So I wonder if Jesus really did it that way. Zacchaeus, you come down. There are some things in this song that just leap out, or this scripture that just leap out at us. Like Zacchaeus was a short man. He was short not only staturally, physically, but I think he was short in his moral values. He was a very powerful man. He was a rich man. He was a chief. He was at the top of his profession, a chief tax collector. He lived a lifestyle that many people probably admired and probably were envious. Though on the surface, Zacchaeus appeared to have it made, he obviously sensed that something was missing in his life. Driven by his emptiness, he pushed his way through the crowd and climbed a tree, something that was very degrading for a man of his position. According to custom or cultural norms, a grown man would never want to be running or climbing a tree and being seen doing that. So Zacchaeus risks being seen doing both of those in order to see Jesus. Did Zacchaeus think that no one would see him in a tree? Who knows what he was thinking? But then, hey, Zacchaeus, come on down. I need to stay at your house. Of all the people in Palestine, tax collectors were the most hated. Roman custom would assess a district at a certain figure and then sold that right to collect that figure to the highest bidder. I thought this was very interesting, according to one commentator. So long as the buyer handed over the assessed figure at the end of the year, he was entitled to retain whatever else he could collect from the people. Since there were no newspapers, no TV, no radio, no internet, no cell phones, people had no idea what they had to pay. And so there was gross abuses in tax collecting. Robbers, you remember this in scripture? Robbers, murderers, and tax collectors were all in the same bin. Wow. And no tax collector was allowed in a synagogue. These were nasty people. So Jericho, interesting, Judy, that you had a song this morning that had Jericho in it. Jericho was a wealthy and important town. Zacchaeus was a man who had reached the top of his profession. He was the most hated man in the district. Zacchaeus was wealthy, but he was not happy. Likely he was lonely, for he had chosen a way that made him an outcast. He had heard of this Jesus who welcomed tax collectors and sinners and wondered if he had a word for him. It seems to me he was searching for the love of God and probably didn't even know that. Zacchaeus was determined to see Jesus and would let nothing stop him. For him to mingle with the crowd took courage. People got their chance to kick at and pick on and push this little tax collector. He could not see Jesus, and the crowd took pleasure in making sure that he could not. It's interesting that Zacchaeus' eager desire, which compelled him to break social norms, is now matched in Jesus' breaking social norms. Did you catch that in scripture? Jesus would become unclean by spending the evening at a tax collector's home. Jesus said that he must stay with Zacchaeus, but doesn't give a reason. Just as we do not know exactly why Zacchaeus felt so compelled to work so hard to see Jesus, but they have seen each other. They are connected when Jesus saw Zacchaeus in the tree. Talk about encountering Jesus as Mike did last Sunday. Talk about a divine appointment. Talk about a God, what did Glenn call it? A God stop. Wow, this is the real deal. Luke tells us Zacchaeus hurried down the tree and was happy to welcome him when Jesus said, "Zacchaeus, you come down." Maybe Zacchaeus did not know until this very moment why he wanted to see Jesus so badly. He didn't know how the Holy Spirit is at work, making his heart a welcoming place for Jesus. Remember I said, I'm going to read between the lines a little bit in this story. Everyone that's followed Jesus saw what happened between him and Zacchaeus. The crowd was not happy at what they saw. He has gone to be the guest of a notorious sinner. There is truth in their words. Everyone knows that. Even Jesus does, and Zacchaeus, they know that. Notice that Jesus doesn't call Zacchaeus down to demand him to repent. There's some things in here that are messing up my formula. I'll talk about that later, and maybe yours too. In his kindness, Jesus follows the work already begun by the Holy Spirit and invites himself directly into the middle of Zacchaeus' existence. It's as though Jesus trusts the repentance and transformed life will happen. It's as though Jesus trusts that this repentance and transformed life will happen. Instead of Zacchaeus needing to be a perfect or sinless or holy or righteous, first, Jesus invites him in because Jesus knows that Jesus, is what Zacchaeus has been searching for. This is such a perfect conversion story. Wow. It's like Nicole would have gone out 2 weeks ago to the streets of Mannheim, and she'd have met this person that said, I've just been waiting for somebody to come and tell me about Jesus. Perfect. Back to the story. The rest will work itself out in a life of obedience. Like, this is a perfect setting. It's interesting that in the chapter before this, 19th chapter of Luke, in chapter 18, Jesus talks about another tax collector. And what did that tax collector do? Remember? It's a parable, but the tax collector said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Likely we see that the fruit already happening in this story, likely we see that first tax that Luke 18 tax collectors already happening in this story. I'm not sure if verse 8 happens immediately or whether it's later on. But Zacchaeus says in the message, I will give away half of my income to the poor, and if I'm caught cheating, I'll pay four times the damage. I wonder who Zacchaeus is saying it to. Is he saying it to Jesus? Is he saying it to the crowd? Is he saying it to himself? Maybe everybody. Notice that Zacchaeus neither confesses his sin nor repents. You notice that? I've struggled with this. Jesus doesn't refer to Zacchaeus' faith or to his change of heart. Jesus blesses Zacchaeus not because of anything he has done, but simply because he is a son of Abraham. He's a child of God. Again, Jesus does the unexpected. To me, everything in this story is impossible. But Luke 18, 27, what is impossible with man is possible with God. Wow. I mean, the whole household was saved because Zacchaeus is going to pay back people that he might have cheated. I'm not just believing that. It's kind of different than the way I was, some of the things I've learned. There's something about this story that messes up my formula for salvation. And that formula is very simple, and I think it might be yours too. Repentance precedes forgiveness. Repentance precedes forgiveness. But that's our Savior. That's Jesus. I want us to see. Zacchaeus had to see. Jesus saw. The crowd saw. So Jesus often sides with the down and outers. He comes alongside those that are on the other side of the track or are in the margin. In this case, Zacchaeus was counted as a nothing. Anyone who desires to see Jesus will see Jesus. So one commentator argues that though Zacchaeus is likely exaggerating about what he will do with his wealth, the fact that Zacchaeus exaggerates is an indicator of his commitment to be transformed in every area of his life. It seems to me that this is really over the top, that he's giving his wealth away in this manner. The fact that he stood there in order to say it means that he wants others to hear this, or to hear him. Based on what Jesus says in verse 10, Luann read, the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Zacchaeus' commitment appears to be mostly be about a result of meeting Jesus, leading us to believe that he is saying it to Jesus while others are listening. What we know about the way God makes faith work in his people means that it's also for the crowd to hear. Like Zacchaeus is being made right by God. And by that internal work, Zacchaeus is compelled to make his life live right. Jesus said, Zacchaeus has received salvation. The story ends with the great words, the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. But we must be careful how we define the lost. Here again, I was rattled a little bit as I thought about this. In the New Testament, lost means in the wrong place. Think about the lost coin, the lost son, and the lost sheep. Lost means in the wrong place. A thing is lost when it has gotten out of its own place and into the wrong place. When we find this situation, return it to the place it should be. A man is lost when he has wandered from God, and he is found again when he takes his rightful place as an obedient child in the family of his father. I think in this whole story, Jesus is describing how God saw us. He came and invited himself into the very middle of our lives. In a sense, Jesus invited himself to dinner and told the world that he must stay here and as one of us. He must do so because he's looking to save all who are lost. He is not willing that any should perish, Scripture tells us. He promises to find us even if we're trying to hide in a tree. Zacchaeus' life and his job was transformed when he met Jesus. Zacchaeus was overwhelmed by Jesus' love and acceptance. He suddenly realized not only the full extent of the emptiness of his life, but also how wrong his personal goals were. He changed in an instant. His change altered the focus of his work from himself to others. He turned the tables, becoming a giver rather than a taker, a server rather than one who is served. Zacchaeus' life change was so drastic that it made the pages of the Bible. As far as we know, Zacchaeus never changed jobs. He was still a tax collector after he met Jesus. He continued to be a chief tax collector, went about his job differently and with a changed attitude. Well, when I first read this Luke story of Zacchaeus, I thought, what is the message in this? Where can one go with this? What is there in this story that's for me or you? So Paul writes in Ephesians 4:22, throw off your former way of life. Let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Throw off your former way of life. Let the Spirit change your thoughts and attitudes. My wife and I sold a home about a year and a half ago. And I think some of you can relate to this. With moving, there was a lot of stuff in our lives, a major amount of stuff. Like, where did this all come from? There was sometimes when we have to leave our stuff, we cried, literally cried. But generally, the feeling was great when we got rid of our stuff. You know how much stuff you have? I said, oh. It seems like the people that know that are people that have had to move. I wondered how we could accumulate so much. And so after we moved, my wife says, no more stuff. Isn't feeling so good to not have so much stuff, even though it hurt? Because some of that stuff had some great stories. Wow. So, you know, I think moving from the physical to another area of our lives, I think in the area of mental and our attitudes, there's some clutter. There's some clutter. I'm going to go a little deeper with this, so hold on. I think some of the clutter we need to lose is this. I did put names behind these because that's getting very personal. And you can add to this list, and maybe you have your own list of clutters. Let me try some. One of the clutters that we have in life is jumping to the negative conclusions before we know all the facts. If I want to wreck up my week, I need to spend each day with somebody who's negative. The weather's not right. I'm not healthy. My job, I hate it. My wife, it doesn't behave. I don't like those kind of people. I avoid that. Another one. Another clutter that we have in our lives is that we think we're always right. We think we're always right. Think about this. Another clutter that I think we have is that we need to have all the right answers. We need to have all the... Another one is that we agonize over the fact that we're not rich enough, we're not healthy enough, we're not smart enough, we're not good enough. Maybe there needs to be some of that, but I think that can take you down. Watch for that kind of clutter. Another one. What actions in your life are robbing your joy? This is heavy, and you probably can't think of this. You might need somebody to help you. What is going on in your life that's robbing your joy? And I'll give you a little hint. It could be something, it could be an emotion, and it could be the emotion of anger. Think about that. Is that clutter that needs to go? Another one, believing that your best days are over. Don't go there. Another, spending too much time and energy on things that don't really matter. I know screens are very important to some people in their lives and in their jobs, but I know people that are wasting their life by looking at a screen. And you can name all kinds of things on that screen. You can do that. Another one. Some of the clutter in our life can be a habit that we have. Some of the clutter in our life can be a habit. Well, I didn't get to the whole list, but let me add to the list. Anything else you don't want your kids to get, you need to get over that. Get out of that clutter. Let the Spirit renew your attitudes. Let the Spirit renew your attitudes, Paul says. I think we see that change in Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was out of his tree, really, in more ways than one. I don't know how I want to look at that. So God help us to see in our lives those things that might be limiting us in our walk with him, in our faith walk, and then... God grant us the courage to change. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for the salvation that you brought to Zacchaeus in his house. Thank you, Father, for your plan of salvation. Thank you, Father, that that you could come alongside us in those times of goof-ups in our life and help us to walk. Because we're in the wrong place, you help us to be in the right place. And thank you mostly, Father, for the fact that we are a child of yours, a child of God. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.